turn with you this morning, fifth chapter of the book of Micah for the beginning. Read verses 1 through 3 here. Well, we're glad to see Sister Joyce back with us this morning.
This is where I belong.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, we're glad to see you. When you're not here, there's an empty spot. Not only in the seat, but in our hearts, where we don't see you. Verse 1 of the 5th chapter said, "Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with the rod upon the cheek. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be the ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old and from everlasting. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel." Seems like in the beginning of this reading is hopeless. Zion has gotten in a shape that is unbelievable when you consider all the things that God had done for them and to them, and all of the prophets that had been sent to them, telling them of the way. Do this and live. And I fear that that's what they tried to do in themselves, is to do that. In our days now, we're coming up on our Christmas season, we call it. Tomorrow is a great day. 21st day of December. Betty and I will be married 63 years tomorrow afternoon. I said before, if she don't smart off at me between now and then. it's been a pretty short while, really, when we look back on it. Hadn't been very long. Yeah. We have been sorely blessed, especially with one another. We've always pulled together. And it wasn't any of our doing. I believe it was more our upbringing than it was anything we've done. We kept correcting it, trying to work toward one end, to do what the Lord had set forth for us to do. And I believe it is a most blessed thing with the Lord that there would be a union there that would be forever. But beside that, looking unto this that is set before us, when the time is right, or was right, God brought forth a Savior. John said he's King of the Jews. He is born that way. And some of you already know that I don't have much use for the manger scene. If you got one, keep it. But I think it's more than that. I think we sell it far short when we just set a manger scene out and we say, this is it. It was necessary that he be born of man, that he take on the same things that man is faced with, that he might have compassion, that he might grow up and learn to be obedient to the Father and set forth a pattern for you and I, that we might also walk in the same paths of righteousness for his name's sake. But if you'll notice when I'm reading today, in all the places that we go with it, he's always saying, and I will, and I will, and I will, over and over, I will. Kind of takes away from our little old selves, doesn't it? If you take it to heart, it will kill you. It's that serious. How little are we? This one that was born is born in this place, Bethlehem Ephratah, thou little place. He is born without any reputation. He is born in meager beginnings. And we're told that over and over in Scripture. He came unto his own, but here is the crux of things. But his own received him not. They were then looking for a king to come and set up a kingdom then in their land, something like they had dreamed of, not what they had known of. And we have a problem in our day also. I believe that they're looking now for one to come back and set up a kingdom in this old earthly world. I don't believe that's the way it's going to be. He's going to come back triumphant over all things. He was born. Listen to me. He was born King of the Jews. He's always been the King. We read forevermore. Ever the King of glory. And his kingdom is not of this world. Why do we think he come to this certain people? That was his called out people. This is my people. And this is the place where I choose to place my name. And there at the temple is where I will meet with them. But they missed it. Only an angel saw it and said, here he is, King of the Jews. Shined a light and guided the people out to him. Here he is. But he's King. And that's what's always bothered me about the thing. They won't keep him a baby in a manger. No, he's far more than that, the Savior of his people. In the book of Jeremiah, in the 23rd chapter, Verse 1, he said, "Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock." You know, and I fear that's what's happened today. They have scattered the flock with all their abominable preaching, and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord, and I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries whither I have driven them, and I will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. Well, we look around us and we don't see too much of that in our little minds. But judgment and justice has always been the way of the Lord. And he reigns in that. That's his very character. That's his very being. Judgment and justice. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise up under David a righteous branch, and the king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, "The Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt," but "The Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country, and from all countries whither I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land." It brings to mind the bugle land. Their own land. The land will be married. To who? The Lord himself, to the righteous branch. So he's much more than just a child in the manger. He's the eternal God. And we got no say he's the one that led us up out of Egypt. Oh no. It's going to be fulfillment of all things. In his righteousness, he's going to lead his people. Book of Ezekiel, the 34th chapter. I was thinking about this week and wondering where do you go? There's so many places we don't have enough time to cover it. There's so many places. Book of Ezekiel, 34th chapter and verse 20. "Therefore thus saith the Lord God unto them, Behold, Even I, will judge between the fat cattle and between the lean cattle. Because you have thrust with side and with shoulder and pushed all the diseased with your horns, till you have scattered them abroad. You got to be a country boy to really understand this. Got to been out there with the old cows. They just butting one another and knocking one another around. And that's the kind of way, you know, really, this is really a good picture, if you really understand it, of the way things have been and are. They're just kind of knocking the Lord's folks around. Therefore will I save my flock. I will. And they shall no more be a prey. And I will judge between cattle and cattle, between his flock and the others. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd, the king of the Jews. Who's the Jews? One that's a Jew outwardly, no, one that's one inwardly. One that serves the Lord. And I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. And I will make with them a covenant of peace. Not peace on earth, peace in the earth. Paul's mentioned this a lot of times. And it's so, you know, they just take everything so loosely. It's kind of like the manger scene as far as it goes there. But I will make with them a covenant of peace. And I will cause evil beasts to cease out of the land. And they shall dwell safely in the wilderness, and sheep in the woods. And I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing, them and everything around them, a blessing. I will, he said. It kind of cuts out the person himself, doesn't he? And I will cause a shower to come down in his season, and there shall be showers of blessing. And I will. It's the only way we're going to see it, if the Lord bring it about. And we have that promise in the birth of Lord Jesus Christ and in his death and resurrection also, that these things are sure. They're nailed up fast. The Ark of the Covenant is sealed up. Even the rod that budded. And the Lord is going to cause it to bud. And we will reside in pleasant places in the Lord if we be his people. In Psalm 72, remarkable psalm. I'd like to read the whole thing. Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge thy people with righteousness and I poor with judgment. The mountains shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy, and shall break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and the moon endure throughout all generations. He's a king forevermore, the king that reigns eternal. And he shall come down like rain, what is going to have showers of blessing. It's like a dew that come down. They'd run all the way down to Aaron's garment, right, to the hem of it. And he shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. And in his days shall be the righteous, shall a righteous flourish, and abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from river unto the ends of the earth. And it flowed all the way down from the mercy seat, all the way to the sea. And they shall dwell in the wilderness, and shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. The king of Tarshish and of the isle shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Sheba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him, all nations shall serve him. For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, and the poor also, and him that hath no helper. He shall spare the poor and needy, and shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their souls from deceit and violence, and precious shall be their blood in his sight. He's going to save his people from their sin. And he shall live, and to him shall be given of the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall be praised. He be praised. There shall be a handful of corn in the earth upon the top of the mountains. Like the fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon, and they of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. And his name shall endure forever. Well, he's the righteous judge. He's the righteous king. Sets upon the throne of mercy. You understand? Up between the cherubim. Up on the throne. Up on the mercy seat. The king of glory. Ezekiel does a great job trying to describe that glory. But he falls far short, isn't he? Yeah. It's impossible to speak of the glory of God and give it due justice. Right. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. And the earth was filled with his glory. When we go back and look at the creation, what glorious things are done, that men might see that glory, but men reject that glory unless the Lord turn them unto himself. And the earth shall be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Why a double amen here? Let it be so, let it be so. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. But make no mistake about it, he wasn't just praying for the king. He was setting forth the king of glory, the one and only potentate. It is none other, no greater name under heaven whereby men must be saved.
He must reign until all enemies are put under his feet. When all enemies are put under his feet, then he shall deliver up the kingdom unto the Father, that God may be all in all. We have many brethren that believe, that still believe, that there is going to be an earthly kingdom over which Christ rules. And we do not part fellowship with them on that issue, but we do not think that way. And we have our reasons, of course, why we do not think that way. One of them is because the scripture talks about David ruling as king. And of course they use that again to say, well, then there's got to be an earthly kingdom. David's going to be the ruler. He's going to rule on he's going to sit on the throne of David. But the Apostle Peter, in his sermon on the day of Pentecost, puts all of that to rest when he declares that Jesus is that David, and it is his throne. David was a type of Christ as king. He is coming again. And he's going to reign. He is, but he is reigning now. And here's the thing that we miss so often in our moaning and groaning and feeling sorry for ourselves. You know, we miss this, that we're reigning with him ourselves right now. We've just got to get this across in our own minds and hearts, is that what is happening in this world today is not by chance. It is according to the foreknowledge and the foreordination, the predestination of God. And it all has to do with his directing. He's directing all of this. There's not one thing that's happening or that can happen, but what God is not directing it to fulfill the purpose for which he first created the heavens and the earth. And that purpose, of course, is to glorify his name in Jesus. It is the so-called Christmas season. A lot of controversy over that. Well, do we celebrate Christmas? Don't we celebrate Christmas? And there's been all kinds of objections to it. I'm well aware that we cannot celebrate Christ Mass. But I do believe that we ought to be glad and rejoice that Christ was born. And it just really dawned on me a couple of weeks ago as I was reading in the first couple of chapters there of Luke. The angel announced the birth of Christ to those poor shepherds out there in the field. Didn't announce it to Herod, did he?
He knew of it, but he didn't know.
That angel announced it. And then there was the heavenly host. Man, it must have been important to God, the Father, that the Savior was born. But all right. And he was born a babe, wasn't he? I mean, he took upon him the likeness of the flesh of man. And it is amazing.
He was born in the stable. He
was the Lamb of God. Born in the stable. Yeah. But we thank him. We just are thankful that, as J.T. said, he was king all the time. And he still is today.